Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky, the stars, the planets today, August 26th. The month is almost over, but here we are today sitting at the potential of a huge new beginning as we start the next round in the Pleiadian Earth energy. It gives us an opportunity, as this is one moving energy, to create something new, to move ahead, to initiate something, and then watch how that unfolds over the next 13 days as the spiral of consciousness that we work with through the Pleiadian calendar is a 13-day week. So that's one thing we'll be talking about today. We'll talk more about the moon in Sagittarius, some reminders about the moon in Sagittarius, a couple of transits the moon is making today, a square to both Mercury and Neptune. That's maybe some possible misunderstandings and not hearing or seeing or understanding things correctly. And also today, the planet Mercury comes into a trine with Pallas Athena. And it's an interesting transit, and I think we'll have some fun talking about that. And as well, we're going to start our first in a series of 12 lessons in astrology today about the first house that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, going through each of the houses. So today we're going to start with the first house. It's a natural place to start, I would think. And we'll talk about what that means and maybe even look at a couple of charts if we have time for that. Quickly, let me go over here and say good morning to Camilla and Elisa. Hello, Pauline. And today's Women's Equality Day, she says. Well, I'm all for that. Ursula, good morning. Kimberly, good morning. And JLo, hello. And Asa is with us this morning. Hello, Asa. Great to have you manning the deck, so to speak, back here in the the YouTube chat forum. Hopefully we can get through all of this information today and still have some time maybe to look at a couple of charts. So let's dig in, shall we? Today, the moon is fully in the sign of Sagittarius. We spend the day here in the sign of adventure, the sign of seeking answers to questions. Often the seeking here is about the journey, right? The hero's quest or the hero's journey, where we're looking for answers to some of life's bigger questions, like who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? And why does this keep happening to me? And going through the process of living a life that sort of mirrors that hero's journey. And then Sagittarius, the moon in Sagittarius, takes the emotional energy of adventure, the spirit of exploring, and adds its optimism and its enthusiasm to the whole of that experience. Seeking, not always finding, but seeking is part of the adventure. It reminds me of the gate 11 in our human design chart, or in the gene keys, the gate 11 looks for the light. It's looking for the answers that will turn on the light, so to speak. In your DNA, it holds the place of allowing more and more light into the DNA, transducing more and more light. The more light you allow in, the more light that you can shine out. That is a part of the adventure in human design, but it's also a Sagittarius adventure as well. The two transits today that the moon are making to the other planets would be Mercury and Neptune. So we're talking squares. So squares are going to be challenges between the two planets. So between the emotional energy of the moon and the speaking communication aspect, the mind aspect of Mercury, and that adds up to possible miscommunications, misunderstandings between people, especially from emotional energy that spills into our words as we speak. So we want to recheck before you blurt anything out today, that you are not filling it with an emotional reaction from something that's going on in your world. For example, this transit reminds me, for example, of, have you ever been in a conversation with someone that's highly charged and their voice is rising, getting louder and louder, and you're like, whoa, dude, back off. I mean, I'm not the enemy here. It's that kind of a transit where misunderstanding of the emotional communication behind the words can happen relatively easy. So let the emotion be in response to what is happening and not be in reaction to what has happened or what is happening or what you think you heard. Recheck your ideas before you take action on them, because you may be taking action on something incorrectly through misinformation perhaps, or even from just thinking you see one thing and it's something else, right? That happens often, where we can just totally blow it in terms of thinking that it means one thing, but it really meant something else. And I've done that before too, in a reactionary way with something that maybe someone has written to me. And I'm like, I get my dander up. And if I respond or react from that, then it just drives more and more miscommunication. So rechecking everything before you send. Not because I'm afraid you're going to make mistakes. Who cares about that, right? Misspelling and grammar, that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. Check the emotional tone of what it is that you're writing. And if that emotional tone is edgy, don't send it that way, right? Wait until the emotional energy changes so that what you end up sending out is from the true authentic place of your being and not some miscommunication. It's almost like we can invite misunderstanding by doing that. Now that's happening early this morning and throughout the day. Later today, we have another kind of problem that pops up with the moon and Neptune. These two coming into a square with one another. Again, that's a challenge, right? We're challenged here with misunderstanding again, right? We have another opportunity here to misunderstand. And it might be we misunderstand what is have you ever been in a desert and you see like the heat waves on the horizon? It makes you think there's something there that isn't, like seeing something that's we think is real, but when we get right down to it, it isn't real at all. So today adds that kind of an atmosphere. So make sure that any action that you're taking on anything is coming from a place of reality and not the elusive waves of interference that Neptune can often bring us. This is a collision between what's real and what's ideal. So we have to watch to where we are attached to things being a certain way, that we have to watch where we are attached to things that might not be real. There might be an unrealizable ideal, opportunity, something that's coming up here that you maybe need to wait for some more clarity before you can actually make a move with that. So being careful about that particular energy of the day. Yeah, J-Lo is wondering if she should talk with her lawyer today. She doesn't want to mix things up. I'm not sure that today is that day, J-Lo, unless you have already got a very clear idea of what it is that you need to speak about, that you are clear in your own mind, that your own emotional energy is at an even keel and not heightened or lowered. So be very careful if you do choose to talk to your lawyer today. I'm not sure what the situation is. Sagittarius does rule the law, and it rules lawyers and attorneys and court proceedings. So the moon in Sagittarius supports that, but there is the possibility of some miscommunication. So you just be uber careful, right? You just take every word and you make it mean something, right? And not color it with the emotional energy of the day. So I'm going to say, if you can put it off a day, go for it. But I'm also aware that sometimes, you know, you've got to take the bull by the horn and do it during the opportunity. And if your opportunity is today, then just know that you want to be super clear about what it is that you're talking about to your attorney. All right, let's take a look at other comments. People are saying, good morning, Joy Ann and Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. Good morning. Please, everybody, send out some healing energy to Debbie and to her daughter, Rita, as they were in an auto accident yesterday and really seriously need some love, some healing energy. Just wrap them all in wonderful energy. And Camilla, good morning. Andy Girl, good morning. It's great to see everybody. Happy birthday to Andy Girl's youngest son, 11th. Well, there's a number of enlightening and illumination. So there we have that. Debbie TT, yes, I just said I wanted to take time until I speak to my doctor and lawyer. Probably a good plan. Just kind of get clear on what is happening for you. J-Lo says, yeah, I have two squares showing up with Mercury too. Now, you know, the thing is about a square, even though it presents us with challenges, and it also presents us with the opportunity to work through the challenge, whatever that might be. So for example, J-Lo, if you have issues, and I can't imagine this is your issue, but if you ever have issues with speaking, you know, maybe you get nervous or you get overly excited or you're upset. There's a lot of emotion there for whatever it is that you're talking to your attorney about, let's say. Then you want to make sure you have a very clear list perhaps with you so that you're working through the list and not forgetting something, maybe taking breaths in between what it is that you have to say so that you can make your points clearly, but with as little emotional reaction as possible. If you just call them up and start to try to say everything you need to say, then it might be more difficult than if you have the actual plan, let's say, of what it is you want to talk about. So J-Lo sending loads of love and light. Debbie Tibbetts says, thank you, everyone. I accept all those blessings and good wishes. We love that we can do that for one another here. But it also brings something up that I want to share with everybody, is that what Debbie and Rita experienced yesterday is so in keeping with Mars squaring Saturn and with Mars getting ready to retrograde, slowing down as it were, as Mars is a planet that rules collisions and accidents. It is also a planet that rules metal. So metal, thinking about your car and the preponderance of metal in the car and the potential then for accidents with cars. Now, I know Debbie and Rita were doing nothing wrong. They were sitting there at a light and a woman hit them from behind. So literally not much that they could do about it, except I don't even know if you could brace for impact, Debbie. I'm not sure you guys even saw it coming. But at this point, it's not unusual to see accidents increase of all kinds. Yesterday, my husband had a pipe fall over and land on his foot. So to my surprise, he came home early yesterday afternoon because he had hit his foot. We thought maybe we were going to have to take him and get it x-rayed, but it actually was a whole lot better this morning, just terribly bruised. So again, pipe, metal, a metal pipe falling. Collisions, accidents, things that you don't expect. So it causes us to be uber aware of our surroundings when you're operating something metal, even a knife, a kitchen knife. I found myself last night as I'm chopping up vegetables for dinner, being very uber aware of every knife cut, just because I already know metal is an issue during a Mars transit, and this is a doozy. So being careful, right, of anything metal. If you're operating a vehicle, be as defensive as you can as you drive, but also know that other people may nod off and these kinds of things happen. So Debbie, thank you. And he went to work today. He was able to, we iced it. We gave him, you know, some ibuprofen for the inflammation. It's a whole lot better today. So, which is a good thing because they're ramping up right now. It's getting really busy for them. Augustina, hello. She says, I see that some of us are having a bad time. So let's be strong together. This is a lovely community and we can be there for each other. Exactly. Mimi says, oh, Debbie, sending ease, grace, and healing to you both. Love it. Keep doing that, everybody. That's what we can do. We can support each other here in the morning show. All right, I'm going to transfer over to a new topic here. We're going to talk a bit now about Mercury and Pallas Athena. So Mercury is in a trine today. A trine is a 120 degree angle or relationship between himself and Pallas Athena. A trine implies a smooth move between the planetary energy. So we have Mercury sitting in Virgo, and we have Pallas Athena in Capricorn. So a trine is always ease and grace, pretty much, between the flow of these planets because they're in the same element, right? So they're both in earth element. So they're both expressing themselves practically. They're organized in the way that they approach things. Thus the reason why J-Lo or Debbie, if you have to talk to your doctors or attorneys, make sure you have lists, points, talking points that you want to make sure you hit upon in your conversations. That is favored at this point in time, that practical, organized approach. But Mercury and Pallas together signal sharp intelligence, maybe being keenly aware, your mind firing on all channels, and being able to really get to the point that you want to talk about. Remember, Pallas Athena is a spiritual warrior. She's a physical warrior goddess. She sprung from her father's head, fully formed with her shield and her owl and her helmet on, her wisdom fully intact, right? She sprung fully loaded, right, with everything that she needed to be the spiritual warrior. And she is on a crusade for freedom. But her crusade is also about bringing more peace and love and joy to the world through that kind of spiritual warriorism, warriorist, warrior, whatever energy. So instead of fighting against something, let's fight with love for something. And that is one of the things that she has here, peace, freedom, and love. And this is a very political sort of setup as well. This is toward a new political landscape. Mercury, again, ruling the mind and communication. Pallas Athena, that warrior, moving us forward. And what does that mean, right? Maybe it means that we need to look at the words that we use with one another. And watching how the dialogue is amped up between warring parties, at least here in this country. And is it possible that everybody comes to their senses? Is it possible that everybody wakes up and decides, you know, this isn't working, we need to be better to one another? That is the high side, the high potential of this particular transit. People like Martin Luther King had this as a transit in their own chart, as an aspect in their own birth charts. So you get that idea that Martin Luther, you know, in his way of being able to speak from peace, right? That's what he was working toward. Even if it was civil unrest, it was done in a peaceful way. Now that kind of resembles sort of what's happening here, only instead of from that peace and love and freedom, it's coming often with a price, and that price is chaos and turbulence. And that's owing to our human design, Saturn and Pluto at the gate of psychosis, where we literally are just getting in our own way. I feel like it's the Flintstones sometimes, where we've devolved instead of evolved out there in the world. This kind of a transit gives me hope that there is the potential for us to move into a new way of being. I would really love that. Especially as I read a very disturbing article this morning about the demise of the USA. And I shouldn't read things like this before I come to the to the morning. The article was written by an anthropologist, a cultural anthropologist, and talking about the similarities, which of course I've already talked about the fall of Rome and the times that we're in now, mimicking that, the birth of the Dark Ages was signaled by one of the things, the fall of Rome. And the United States of America has often been sort of compared to Rome. And are we looking at the fall of the USA? And in a way, I think we are, but I don't think it's the kind of fall that people think. I think it is a revolution, a rebirthing, a regenerating of it as we are sitting here at the precipice of our first Pluto return. So when I read articles like that, it emotionally makes me react initially, right, to the, but the other side of the coin is, yeah, we are in a death right now. That death is leading us to a rebirth. And every country on the planet that has lived anything longer than 248 years has gone through the same thing, right? This rebirthing process. Sometimes it's pretty messy and it's pretty ugly. So just remembering that we have this, we're the ones creating the reality that we're in. So how do we want to create the rebirth, even if it is for a country like the USA, and how we can do that in our own lives? I'm looking here and I see a question from Pauline. She wants to know what the glyph for Pallas Athena looks like. It looks like a diamond, right? Sitting on top of a cross, if you will. Let me take and share my screen. First, let me make sure I have the astrology chart up and then I'll share my screen so you guys can see the glyph. That is a great question. And we have to look to Capricorn. You see it right here. It almost looks like the identity center in your human design, right? It's a diamond and underneath it, the cross. And you see she's also retrograde in Capricorn along with Jupiter and Pluto and Chiriclo and Saturn. So we have all of this retrograde energy. So a lot of the regeneration and a lot of the recreation energy is turned inward at the moment, right? Where we're identifying with who are we, with our national identity, with our personal identity, with our community identity, and how are we going to rebirth that? What is it going to look like as we move on? And that's an important thing to remember, that rebirthing comes from a death, but it doesn't necessarily mean a death where it's finalized, like, you know, Rome's final fall kind of energy. That's not exactly what is happening. It is sort of more regenerative than that, as we are facing a new reality as the age of Aquarius becomes stronger and stronger in our field. So that was a great question. Thank you, Pauline. The symbol right here, this little diamond with the cross underneath it. So while I've got the screen up, today I wanted to begin our conversation about the houses in the astrology chart, kind of giving you some more intel, if you will, on each of the houses. So first of all, we have 12 houses in the astrology chart, and every one of the houses has an energy associated with it. And it also has a sign that it rules, or rules it, and a planet that also rules the house. Then you also have those houses situated in your own chart in a different pattern than what the natural zodiac wheel is. So for instance, if this were a chart of a person that we're looking at, we have Virgo sitting mostly in the first house and a little bit of Libra sitting in the first. No, it's all Virgo. Apologies. It's all Virgo here. And we have a little bit of Virgo applying to the second house. That's what I was looking at there. But the first house here for this particular person would be a Virgo first house. And the first house begins with that very sensitive spot we talked about a few weeks ago called the ascendant, right? The entry point into which you came into the planet. So at the moment of your birth, this would have been the sign that was rising in the east that would have really imbued your personality, the mask you wear to the world, and even given you sort of a physicality based on the sign that was there on that cusp. So the first house or the ascendant also reveals to us what the ruling planet is of the chart. So again, we're pretending this chart is a person and that ascendant begins in Virgo. So we would have the ruling planet as Mercury. So the ruling planet of the chart isn't necessarily the sun sign, right? The sun sign is showing more of what your job on the planet was going to be, what your skills were that you brought to the planet. But the rising sign really shows your personality, your physical being, and it also shows by its ruler how it is that you are going to take on the job of being you in this lifetime. Now, the houses show the where. So if I had to say this is Mercury in Virgo and it's in the first house, that is where Mercury in Virgo is going to show up. This person would likely be highly organized in their thoughts and their actions. They would always seem to work best with a plan. They would be very practical in their speech, not necessarily emotionally speaking, but speaking from facts and figures, and maybe even have to work in their life about on things like speaking, but without all of the facts and the figures, right? It can get to be a very dry sort of languaging that can happen with Mercury in Virgo in the first house. But that's how this person sees the world, with facts and figures and truths and being able to be organized in the way that they approach the world. So the first house has a lot to do with who you are. Who am I? It is the sign that would hold the ego, if you will, the sense of self, like the I am that I am, right? The I am presence is in that first house. It is also showing you how you would go about realization of the self. So the sign here shows a lot about how you're going to go forth into the world. This person may initially go out into the world. The sun is also on the ascendant here, which is kind of interesting. Very close to the ascendant, but on the 12th house side of the ascendant. So this person has almost a double, if this were a person, would have a very Virgo sensibility. The realization of the self would be practical in nature, would want to be organized and very much needed routine in its life. No, it would not do well in a confusion, chaotic environment. This person would want to have routines. If I were a parent advising a child born today, I would say your child will need routine, will need to know what comes next, that they will need that practical guidance, that earthy approach to living and being guided. Their mind works in very practical ways. So we get this idea then that the sign here on the first house holds very much prominence in who you are, ultimately who you are in the world. How you will become a unique individual is also shown here by this particular sign. Now, there's also another quality here that is about the approach to life. The sign here really tells us a lot about how you are going to move out from, you know, as you grow and you evolve or you grow up, let's say, and mature, how it is that you're going to want to be in the world. It shows your personality, your physical body, and not the physical body's health necessarily, but how through the physical body you present yourself to the world. So is it that you've got that Leo rising sign or Leo in the first house where you present yourself as you're large, you're confident, or the negative side of Leo, which is something, you know, lacking confidence, sort of shoulders hunched and trying to make yourself smaller, when in fact Leo is meant to be big, large, and in charge. And that would show then the approach this person is taking to their life, especially around the head and the face, because that is really what the first house is looking at. What is the face that's being presented face forward into the world? The first house also has a lot to do with your early childhood. How was your emerging view of the world affected by the sign on that rise? So a Virgo rise might see the world as chaotic and unsafe, and so they do everything that they can do to keep it earthy and practical and routine. So as a way to, that might be the more negative way to view the world. Perhaps the Virgo sees the world in a way that needs healing, so they set out to heal, right, by serving in some capacity. The Virgo sort of ego is about serving, and I often think of serving as instead of being servant to the someone or servant to the world, I think of it as using your gifts and your talents and applying them in the world. So that might be an emerging world view, an emerging view of the self for someone with a Virgo rise. And this is also going to talk about what will shape your view in the world. I find it interesting that I have a Cancer rising sign, and my mother had a stroke when I was very young. So I was shuffled off to sisters first, and then to older sisters first, and then to a foster home, and where the mother figure was an alcoholic and she was not a very good mother. And I made key choices there to be a good mother, right? Because I have a Cancer rising sign. I wasn't nurtured, so I was determined that I would become the nurturer, the mother. And I've done that repeatedly throughout my life, whether it was with my own kids, whether it was with animals, whether it was with friends, acquaintances, clients. I'm that mother figure. My whole view of the world is about nurturing and mothering and taking care of and supporting one another. So whatever sign that you have there can also be what shaped your view of the world, right? Some, you know, accident, some young childhood thing that happened in your family that really sets you up for the view that you will take of the world. And then if you have planets in the first house of your astrology chart or very near to it, for example, the sun here, it modifies the experience of the first house, and it will also strongly influence the life that you are living. So for example, you might imagine the sun here sitting on in Virgo might be someone who takes on psychological healing in this life, taking the 12th house, you know, patterns in the subconscious or unconscious mind, applying it to the first house of the self, using that on themselves, or also deciding at some point in a career setting to work with and serve through helping people get through their patterns and their shadow energies, etc. Then with Mercury here, maybe this person writes about that as well, or speaks to that in some way. We also would have to look at other areas of the chart to see what's going on, but we get sort of a sense of the planets that are here and how they are going to show up in the person's life. It's strongly influencing the person's life. So the first house is all about you. I could write one big word here and it would be the word self, as it is all about the you of it all. Now I saw Asa popped up here with a question. Lulani Punani is an Aquarius sun with a Scorpio rising, wondering how this affects her. And okay, so I'm not going to deal with the sun because that wasn't exactly what we're here to talk about. But if you have a Scorpio rising, then you have an intensity about your person, Lulani, and you are someone who is passionate and needs to bring passion into it. There's also a little bit, sometimes that Scorpio, depending on how old you are here, sometimes that Scorpio rising learns to really hide their emotions, and they bring it in almost like they're choking it back. And then they're holding on to, they learn to hold on to things like anger or grief or upset, holding grudges on people that have hurt them. There's a passive aggression here that can show up until the Scorpion merges into the Eagle and you become more mature, more able to see from a higher perspective. And then the really juicy Scorpio energies of going to the depth of something and being able to express or expose secrets, or to do that dive into the shamanic territory of the womb, into the deeper depths of something, show up. There's also raw sexuality that occurs with Scorpio on the rise. It is often someone who has a lot of sex appeal. That doesn't mean that you're necessarily beautiful. You don't have to be that. It's not about the looks. It's about an aura of power that is exuded by someone whose rising is Scorpio. And sometimes that means that people will be recoiling from you, moving back from you because they feel your intensity. Or it can be used to draw people in, especially if you have planets there that are wanting to be expressed as well. So I hope that's helpful there. Okay, so questions, comments. I'm going to find my way back to YouTube somehow. There we go. So that was a great question. And welcome, Leilani, because I think you're probably new to us. I don't recall seeing you in here before, so welcome. And she says, oh, that's not me, LMAO. I let it out too much. Ah, that is another sign of Scorpio, but evolving, right? Where you're not holding on to all of that. You're not being secretive and hiding it away, but you're expressing it, hopefully in healthy ways, right? Not in overtly negative ways. That is the sign, though, of someone who's moving through Scorpio energy and helping to bring it up and out. Mimi, I will need to read up on Aries, as that is my rising sign. And Eris retrograde was there in my natal chart. No wonder I have no beef with Eris. No, you are Eris. Isn't that funny? You are Eris and her march toward liberation and freedom. Being more inclusive and sometimes creating that, you know, being in an atmosphere of discord and in the process of being able to smooth that over. Aries on the rise is someone who's fiercely independent, but needing to learn the energy of interdependence, let's say, where you know that you can stand on your own two feet, but you're willing and able to reach out when you need help, right? Because Aries here is very Mars driven. It's bold. It's independent. It's very impulsive sort of energy as well. And you may have to learn impulse control over your life, but you know your mind, you know what you want, you know where you're going. That's the beauty of having Aries on the first house. But like my daughter, who's also an Aries on the rise, who takes on a project and does it all herself, even if she has meted out and, you know, given us tasks to do, you may take on too much and forget to delegate. And if you delegate, don't take it all back. So reaching out for help when needed, and also letting people, you just have that aura of I can do, that I am, and that I'm independent. So there you have. Kamal, thank you so much. Joy Ann says, if not transformed, you unconsciously hurt others and yourself. That's perfect. That's perfect, Joy Ann, as an explanation of how Scorpio can move ahead in life, right? When they begin to mature and they take the responsibility for what they are and who they are and their emotional field, and they are able to transform those things and transcend any of the more negative things that have happened. J-Lo, what about a Gemini rising with Saturn in the house also? Well, that would be not fun. Gemini on the rise, of course, takes on that playful, youthful, communicative chatterbox energy. That's right. Chatty Cathy comes from, right? Gemini on the rise. I'm so sure of it. So Gemini on the rise, very communicative, but Saturn adds a little note of seriousness to that Gemini energy. It makes it a little more taciturn and moody, perhaps, in terms of how the Gemini expresses itself. They're twins there, right? They're twins. One twin may be triggered by the negative energy of Saturn, may be feeling low and being more emotionally guarded or less bubbly. And then with a flick of a switch, becoming the other twin, more bubbly, more outgoing and extroverted. So right there in that person, in their first house, is this energy of the twins, right? That the two pieces of the puzzle here, two parts that are expressing in different ways and being more serious and then being more fun and more playful. J-Lo, that is my Cancer in my chart. Ooh, yes, J-Lo. Leilani, thank you. I love this channel. Well, we love it that you're here, which reminds me, if you are loving the information we are passing out here this morning, give me a thumbs up, right? And also, if you haven't yet done it, please subscribe. And you can even get the little bell and hit for notifications so that you'll know when I come on air. I'm on air Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific time, 8 to 9 a.m. And you can tune in and find out what's up in the stars with us every day. And Amanda J says, I am a Taurus rise with no planets in my first house. So this is how we can look at the ruler of your planet, the ruler of your chart is Venus then, right? Because the first house, if we look at the first house and we think of it as your personality, you have a very Taurus personality, but Taurus is ruled by the planet Venus. So it puts sort of brings Venus energy into that first house. So you may be concerned with the practical orientation of life. You may be very good at gardening and planting and doing things in a cyclical way, but you can also be interested in things of beauty and bringing art and relationships and sensuality into your first house. So in a way, that Taurus gives you that staying power, that stubborn edge, that determined part of yourself, but it's also a part of you that's really beautiful, that likes to be in the earth or in nature, and is looking at the world through the view of Venus, which is through values and beauty and harmony and relationship. So hopefully that helps. And no planets in there just means that there's nothing else that we would have to look at that could create or a change or a different energy or influence in your particular life. If we look at that as your childhood, then you might see that your childhood needed to be grounded, that, depending on your parents, that maybe you, you know, drew to you parents that were a little airier perhaps, and what you really wanted was that solidness, the feet on the ground, and to be able to stay, but maybe your life was a little bit more chaotic than that. So you learned how to self-soothe by being as grounded as you could be in any situation. Cosmic Calibri, what is in the first house is all about you. What if I have Ascendant, Chiron, and Lilith in Gemini in the first house? Well, and you put a little sad face there, but I think that you're missing something here that's really wonderful, because it looks like then this lifetime for you was about healing and healing from whatever the fears are that reside in your subconscious. Lilith is the Black Moon Lilith is who I'm assuming that you're thinking of here. And the Black Moon Lilith is a representation of what we fear, or the shadow energy. So if your Black Moon Lilith is in Gemini, there's a distinctive people pleaser here in you, where you do things that make other people happy, but not necessarily things that make you happy. You add Chiron to the mix, and that means this lifetime is about really understanding who you are, what you want, right? And then being able to act from that, knowing that if you please yourself, then it makes other people around you happy. That it almost is like you're trying to make other people happy instead of making yourself happy. Where if you make yourself happy, then other people become happy. So you have Gemini here, which could also speak to two distinct parts of your life, where one part of your life is that the wound of not pleasing yourself or not, you know, being self-loving enough. And then the other part later in life is maybe you approach your Chiron return. That wouldn't be until you were 50. And I wouldn't want you to hold out that long. But the sooner you learn the lessons of self-love and making yourself happy and letting go of the fear of people not liking you or wanting to be around you if you don't do what they want you to do, the sooner you are going to be in the healing energy of this part of your life. So I hope that helps. Joy Ann, High Heart Radio tonight. Ah, not I Heart Radio. It is Angel Heart Radio. Thank you very much, Joy Ann, for the little plug there. Tonight at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, I will be on Angel Heart Radio with Annette McCoy. We're going to be talking about Mars retrograde, the Mars cycle. There's a lot to talk about with Mars for the next couple of months, as he is in an extended period of time in the sign of Aries, and also heading into a retrograde, and then what all that means. Then at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, which would be 9:30 for you guys on the East Coast, I will be on Angel Heart Radio again, but this time with Anaya and Carol Ann. We're talking about the solar plexus mutation. Last time I met with them, we talked about it. We set the stage for it, what it was, what it wasn't. And then tonight we're going to go into more of what some of the signs are, some of besides the symptoms that we talked about last time. What are some of the changes we might see on the planet as we get ready to move through this time period? And thank you very much for bringing that up so that I would share that. You can join us in those two broadcasts by going to the Facebook page, Angel Heart Radio. And that's where we broadcast live to. And I realize for some of you, that's late in the evening. And so maybe you want to wait, go but there tomorrow. The video will also be on that page later for you to listen to. So, okay. Cosmic Calibri, having Chiron plus Lilith and Ascendant in Gemini is the same. Isn't that controversial? Do you want it to be? I mean, I feel like sometimes some of you, some of us, all, I mean, I have been as guilty as anybody of this. We take these transits, or we take these settings in our chart, and we look at them almost fatalistically. And I want you to get out of that, Cosmic. I want you out of that fatalism that you're looking at here, because the first house, even just because it's there, doesn't mean you're doomed. It doesn't mean that you're doomed to be this, right? The very high side here is that you're going to come out at the other end shiny and new, that it's all about how you're going to look at this. How are you going to view this in your life? And at any moment in time, you can choose to view it from a different perspective. Just by raising your vibration a little bit, you can look in and you can see things from a completely different viewpoint. Right? So please, 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 just because a transit says it's this does not mean it is fatalistic. Right? It's not doom and gloom. It is potential. Right, is where I can shine more light into myself and out into the world, and where I can be a role model even in how I've gone through my life, right? And how I've worked through the issues that have been presented to me by the transits or by the aspects in my chart. And, you know, take a look at that, Cosmic, because I think you're creating the world of that controversy. I think you're creating your own stumbling blocks and your own fear here, or magnifying it. It doesn't mean that what you're experiencing right now isn't real, but you're the one that has the power to change it. So take that and move with that, and not so much of the absolutism that something means, particularly something that you think it means. Does that make sense? Hopefully that helps everybody there. Now, Joy-Ann, when on your ascendant, you tend to personify the attributes of these archetypes. You choose to work with them then to be evolved. That's a great way to put it as well, is that all of this is in service to our own evolution, our own spiral of consciousness as we are moving. I mean, the whole purpose of our coming to life was to evolve, right? That's the whole purpose here. And as we evolve, we also allow others around us that evolutionary possibility. So that's perfect, Joy-Ann. Thank you. J-Lo, maybe if you share on the page, I can get an alert. I always forget, but I would love to watch the live, Janet, and share on my page. Yeah, I'm not sure how all of that works. I, you know, totally just want to do astrology, human design, and gene keys. This whole social media stuff just gets me, as much as I love to play in it, you know, the rules seem to change every day, and yeah. Joy-Ann says, I've been reading Melanie Reinhardt's book on the centaurs, Chiron and the Gang. I would recommend it. I love Melanie Reinhardt. I have Chiron and the Healing Journey. This is a really good book, and it is by Melanie Reinhardt, right? You can tell I've read this book. I've really read this book. And she talks about all kinds of the different types of the hero's journey through, and Chiron through all of the different signs and through the houses as well, which, you know, let me just say that again, that the houses also are represented by a sign. So if in the natural wheel, the first house has Aries as its ruler. So there's an Aries undertone, if you will, even if you have Cancer there, there's an Aries undertone to that, because that's the natural ruler of the house. So when we're talking, if you had Capricorn on the rise, then you have sort of a 10th house overtone there as well, or a Capricorn Saturn sort of undertone there. So we have all of that potential in a chart. And looking at the chart, again, being as open-minded as you can as you look at your chart, because it's not a fatal thing, right? It's not something that's set in stone. Adrienne, good morning. Joining late, grateful to be here. Love that orange on you as always. Thank you very much. I felt like making the sun maybe feel like sticking around today because I froze my tush off almost all day yesterday. It wasn't until maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon I finally shed my sweatshirt and ended up wearing just a regular blouse. And this morning the sun was out. It gave me hope, but now it's gone again. Anyway, so Amy Energy, ooh, I want that book. I'm not sure if it's available, but look, let me show you again. It is the book called Chiron and the Healing Journey by Melanie Reinhardt. Be prepared. It goes deep, right? This is not an easy read. It's not necessarily a contemplation, but it really does take you into a depth that you have to sit with a bit. And she kind of reminds me of, if you guys have ever seen any work by Jeffrey Wolf Green. Can't remember his name exactly. He did work on Pluto, and it's deep, right? It's just deep. That's what this is. This is deep, but also has enlightenment built into it. So it's a good book. All right, let's take a look at our Pleiadian Earth energy before I end the day. We have entered into a new spiral of consciousness now. We are at one moving. The one energy is about initiation and a new beginning. What are we being initiated into? Well, we're being initiated into the energy of movement, moving energy. So the one is the universal energy of the day. And for those of you who are new, this is coming from our Pleiadian Earth energy calendar, right? Written by Pia Orlean and Colin Baird Smith and the Pleiadians. They channel a group of Pleiadian energies, and they brought us this new way of looking at the calendar. So the calendar is based, instead of the mechanistic Gregorian calendar that has no real energy to it at all, other than time marching on, this has an actual energy associated with it. So we're down here today at the 26th. She does put the date of the Gregorian calendar so we can orient in the physical. And then we have the spiritual here, energy of one moving. And because it's the beginning of a new week, that energy becomes the umbrella energy for the next 13 days. So the Pleiadian calendar is based on 13-day weeks. And each of those days, we cycle through a universal energy represented by the number and through an earth energy represented by the word. So the universal energy of the day is one, new beginnings, initiation, setting intentions. This is about a new cycle of evolution that we are opening up to. We've just closed the cycle of choosing, where we had one choosing, right? That was on August 13th. And we went through the whole cycle of what are we choosing in our life? Choice was what we were working with. And that in every moment we are making a choice, what to say, what to think, who to be, where to go, what to do. Now we are going into a new energy where, again, all is possible, right? The one energy says that everything is possible. And that all we have to do is expand our minds to be able to greet that energy in its fullness. And we can set intentions now for what comes next. It's similar to a new moon. And we are also being tasked to be present, ever present in the moment, in the now. That's what the new beginning is about. Now, moving energy is all about exploring. It has a very Sagittarius sort of feel to it as well, but we're exploring our differences. What makes you tick versus what makes someone else tick? What makes someone in another country tick? What makes somebody of a different political leaning tick? And we're exploring those differences, not for purposes of separation, but for about bringing all of this together into a new unified whole. And while we're doing that, we are also bringing in spiritual integrity, right? We're bringing it into the physical. So we're grounding everything that we're walking, talking about, we're bringing it into our walk, right? So we're embodying the divine. We're really finding the truth in walking with our source and being the embodiment of that source in the physical plane here. So embodying the spiritual energy. It is also about connecting the heart and the mind. And just as the spiritual and the physical are connected through our connection to the divine and being in a physical reality, that is also connecting our hearts to our minds. So we align that and then we are able to move forward. Sometimes though, this energy, and we're going to see this over those next 13 days in various ways, through various lenses, where conflict comes up to the surface, where it's uncovered and it's meant for us to solve the problem or the conflict from the heart, not from the head, or from, let's try to put it in a different way, from a balanced heart and mind. So creating solutions, creating win-win situations instead of lose-lose or win-lose or lose-win kind of scenarios. So our solutions to the conflict have to be heart-based during this time. So we're being tasked with all of that now for the next 13 days, but we'll still be moving each day into a new energy that just crystallizes more and more of what one moving is. And I want to say in the Mayan calendar, moving energy was Chichon, but let me make sure it is. Yep, Chichon. And Chichon was represented in the Mayan calendar by the snake. So it gave you this idea of the snake shedding its skin in order to grow. So it also has a connotation here that in order for us to move forward or to expand and grow, we have to shed something. We have to let go of something, right? The old us moving away, making space for the new, right? For to have a heart-mind connection, we might need to let go of some of our old baggage, some of our old thoughts, some of our old beliefs, right? Our old words even might have to go. So taking a look at all of that in order to bring everything together. And I forgot to look at Asa from Alexandra asking about Leo rising in the first house. We did talk about Leo. That was one of the ones I used as an example of Leo. A Leo rising or a Leo first house meant to be the center of attention, right? That Leo on the rise. I have a really good friend whose name shall remain nameless, who has Leo on the rise. And it's very difficult for a Leo rising to actually put themselves in the spotlight sometimes. There's a lack of confidence that can be apparent here, but I can virtually guarantee you that Leo on the rise is meant to be in the center of someone's world, to be the center of attention, to rise to the challenge of being the sun, right? The sun is the center of our solar system. All the planets revolve around the sun. So here it is about taking on the mantle of being that role model or being that Leo lion with courage and strength. In the tarot, the lion is represented, or Leo is represented, by the strength card, and strength being sort of that pillar energy, standing strong in the face of adversity, but also coming out of the dark, especially if part of Leo begins in your 12th house. And if there are any planets in that 12th house, you need to pull that Leo self-confidence together, not moving solely over to the uber confident arrogance of that is possible also with that. But the beautiful Leo that stands proud and tall and allows the universe to revolve around it. I love Leo rising. I once concocted my birth time so that I could have a Leo rising. I didn't intend to do that, but I didn't like the idea of having a Cancer rising. So I changed my birth time by an hour and suddenly I was a Leo rising. Only that wasn't my birth time. Actually, I changed it by 2 hours because I didn't have my birth certificate at the time. So I was guessing based on my birth, having seen my birth certificate at some point in my youth. Like when I was 8 years old and noticing, oh, I was born at 6 something in the morning, but I wasn't. I was born very much 2 hours later at almost 8 o'clock, 2 minutes until eight. So that changes the rising sign. But I'm okay with Cancer as the rise too. You have to make peace with who you really are. It was like taking on ownership of my true self. And that was funny to me as, you know, time went on. I really realized, oh yeah, that Cancer rising is much more than my Leo rising. Okay. So Cosmic says, thanks for your wisdom. Wondering, having Gemini rising on the first house with subtle energy of Aries can connect with my gene key life 3-2 from chaos to the gift of innovation to the gosh darn innocence of it all, right? Aries has that innocence about it. If you think of the Fool card, right? He's just innocently wandering on. He doesn't even see that there are pitfalls in life yet, right? The dog's trying to tell him, hey, you're getting ready to go off a cliff. But the idea here for you is to really embrace all of this, right? To be this and to dive into it and to see what it is telling you about you and your trials and your tribulations, and how can you pull yourself out of that? That's the beauty of that. And the Gene Key 3 is where Mars will be sitting here very shortly, if not today already. Let's take a look here. Where are you, Mars? Mars today, the 25th, yesterday, moved into the Gene Key 3 or to the Gate 3. So we're all having, this is like being washed clean, right, into our innocence. And from innocence comes, or from innovation comes innocence. So it's the gift, it is the path of chaos to innocence via innovation, right? Thinking things in a new way, seeing life in a new way, elevating from a new, you know, seeing your life from a new perspective. So it's very cool. Cosmic says, collecting all different teachings from different healings and be a leader in sharing in innovative ways. Absolutely. That's perfect. That's a perfect way to look at that. And it's so different from the controversy or the shadow energy that at first, you know, you were bringing up. So Edie, I'm not sure how to say that. Welcome. You're new as well. I see that. And welcome. Pauline says, energy calendar, end of August. Did you say 2021 calendar coming soon? Yes. And your, do we use for human design or gene code or just Pleiadian Earth? I use the calendar for everything, right? The calendar to me is for everything. But the systems, they're side by side. They're not really intertwinable, except that you could look, okay, today is one moving energy. Where's the sun today? Well, the sun is sitting at the gate 59 or the gene key 59. You could go deeper there. And if the sun is sitting at the gate 59, then the earth is sitting at the gate 55. And you could do the deeper dive into that. So you can cross the systems on your own, but they're not necessarily built one on the other. They're completely different systems, but you can figure out a way to bring them together. That's kind of what I try to do here in the morning, is to bring these systems together and show you how they coherently speak to one another, but they each have a different facet, if you will, of the truth. And I love that about that. And yes, that reminds me to remind you, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Thank you very much, Joanne. I knew I had it close. There are some great YouTubes of him speaking on Dharma. What a great subject. Anyway, reminding you that on September 17th, which is a Thursday, I do believe it is, I will have the creators of the Pleiadian Earth Energy Calendar here on the show with me, and they're going to be presenting us information on 2021, telling us how to get a copy of that calendar, and also telling us a little bit about how different it is based in a little bit different format than the 2020 calendar was. So this is the second year I've used this calendar. I had the 2019 calendar, 2020. I couldn't wait to get 2021 is prime, I think, on its way to me from them so that we can chat about it. I know it will be available very soon, and as soon as it is, I will let you know so you guys can get your copies of it as well. Okay. Any other questions that I absolutely have to answer before I go? Thank you, Joanne, by the way, for sharing that information about Jeffrey Wolf. Absolutely love him. He sees things completely different than me, and I love that. Edie, I'm just contemplating gene key 55, my radiance key. Ooh, I love that. I would say everybody can contemplate the gene key 55. It's freedom. Right? It's about freedom. Capital, all caps, freedom in the city, capital F freedom in the gift. And it takes us out of victimization energy from that shadow energy of the fear. And likely that's something that we can all use a refresher on, because we often get into the fear. The outer world just can trigger, you know, somebody's conversation out there can trigger that fear-based thinking again. So, no, the calendar doesn't show us that kind of thing. No. The calendar is about the evolution of our consciousness. It doesn't show events. It's not like an astrological calendar where you can see that, you know, Saturn conjunct Pluto and Capricorn could create failing structures in our lives, or an issue popping up, a crisis that exposes the crumbling nature of structure and form in a society or in a country, as it did here for us. It's not like that. Instead, it's taking us on a journey through how we evolve consciously. So it's just different. Right? It's different. So definitely tune in, Pauline, on the 17th and get to talk to get to hear Pia and Colin as they talk about the calendar and how it comes to be and how you can use that in your life. Anyway, that is it for me today, guys. I hope everybody has a great day. I'm going to go have to drink a gallon of water so I have the ability to talk later. So take care, everyone, and I will see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday. We will do card readings tomorrow. By the way, I was gifted a new deck by one of our listeners out here in the morning sometimes, Leslie Zuber, who has a dog pack oracle deck. And I'm going to play with this one with you all tomorrow because I love it. The cards are all about dogs. There's just something about dog energy, isn't there? Where you can see, this is the first card I drew, Ancient Wisdom, the Saint Bernard, and the Schnauzer, stability, right? So we have all kinds of dogs. Pitbull is selflessness. Isn't that amazing, considering the character that we all think the pit bull has? So tomorrow we'll be doing some card readings. We could do some chart readings if you're so inclined, if you want that. So tune in tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Pacific time, right here on my Living Astrology YouTube channel. All right, see you tomorrow.